It's good to have Dan and three of his four girls. So it's a blessing to have Dan and Angie here and their two younger daughters. We don't get Karis with us today. But hopefully we'll have a wonderful time hearing from Dan. Remember, he's serving in Uganda, SOS. He's been at SOS for about 2.5-3 years. Well, over 3 years. So he's been ministering there. He's going to share with us this morning and then be speaking to us again tonight. So I want to encourage you to be back tonight to hear Dan open up God's word and preach to us. I don't think he needs much more of an introduction. We've been partnered with them for quite a while, and we're eager to hear from him. So I'll pray and then hand things over to him for this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessing it is to be partners in the gospel with those who are faithful to you, who are faithful at ministering to your people, loving them, encouraging them to follow Christ, training young men to ministry. Lord, we ask that you might strengthen and bless the Hufstutlers, not only while they're with us, but while they're in the States. We ask that their time would be refreshing, that even as they see their daughter and encourage her and spend time here with friends, we ask that their hearts would be strengthened and that as they head back overseas, that they would be eager to re-engage with the ministry that you've called them to. Lord, we ask for today that you might strengthen the burden that our church has for Africa, for the training of people who are called to that area because you have, in your providence, planted them there and redeemed them there and granted to them an ability to minister to their own people groups in ways that we could never as effectively do. We ask that you might, even today, remind us that generosity is better than getting. And so, Lord, help us to be like Jesus Christ, who has shown us that giving is good. Help us to be a blessing. Strengthen our hearts, even through the ministry of the Spirit, as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you. All right. I hope everyone can hear me okay. I can hear myself, so that's a good sign. Thank you. So good to be back with you. Dan Hufstutler is my name. Those of you maybe who have never met us before. Hufstutler, right? You'll see it spelled a few times, and we have some cards back here we'd love for you to take. But we have been a long time partner with you in gospel work in Kenya and now in Uganda. Way back when the girls were small, we made a number of trips over here, and now the girls are over here, and they're big. And so a lot has changed over the years, but our relationship has not, and we have been very thankful for that. I don't know how much you are familiar with missionary work and gospel partnerships and partnering with people that live far, far away that you only see once every few years, but you have really been a stellar example, this church, in partnership, at least for the Hufstutlers. And in our ministry in Kenya, your pastor visited at least once, I feel like twice. In Uganda, we've had, three pastors plus three assistants who've come with them. We had nothing to do with Timmy, who's now Mr. Tim, I think. Getting married, but I heard that there's some progress. There's progress there. We're praying for Paxton. I don't know if Paxton is here. I'm looking around, but a couple others have come over the years, and that is a wonderful way. By the way, I don't know if you know that is a wonderful way for your church to minister to young men and people who are growing in their faith. Just to come along with a pastor and listen and learn and see. It's a wonderful way to kind of help people understand what missions and ministry and the other parts of the world are like and what the church is like in other places and the needs that are there. I just want to congratulate you because I don't know how much, you know, you see the pastor disappear for 2 weeks or however long and you're like, what is he doing over there? And I'm here to tell you that you have been a stellar example in many ways and we love this church. We're always glad to be back. We wish we were closer and could be here more often, but we can't. And so we're certainly glad to be here this weekend. Because this is an unusual church, and you've sent so many guests specifically engaged in our work in the college, I'm going to kind of change what I do this morning. So we're winging it, and we're going to wing it quickly. So we'll see how this goes, but we're going to show you a couple videos, and then I'm doing that to give you a whole bunch of information at once in picture form, because they say a picture is worth... Exactly. So if you have a whole bunch of them, you have a million words, maybe. I don't know, but you'll understand a lot. Quickly, and then I've got a slideshow that I typically show, and I'm going to speed through some of that, to get to some of the good, some of the things I want to spend more time on, because I'm thinking you probably know a lot about some things, but not very much about other things, and so I'm just flexing as we go, per the advice of the Milams, who we have moved in with on the weekend. So blame them if it's all a mess. No, I'm kidding. Don't blame them, but blame me. Let me introduce my family, just in case you're not clear on who they are. So my wife Angie is right up here. Maybe wave your hand or something so they know who you are. This is Angie. And then my two younger daughters, Faith is the older one. She's 19 right here. And Michaela is the baby, even though she's taller than everyone else. Michaela has overtaken all the girls, and she's the baby. She's 16, going on 21. So you can give her some advice about that as we go along today. But they have not been here, so we were trying to figure it out. 2018. So if you've come after 2018, you haven't maybe met everybody, especially the girls. But we are thrilled to be back amongst you. We do have some little things out here. We have some prayer cards we'd love for you to take. We have some brochures about aspects of the ministry you'll hear about. And we also have a sign-up list for emails. And some of you have given us emails, and you changed your email, and you didn't tell me. And so I have a bad email for you. Some of you might be interested in just tracking our extremely interesting picture-filled emails that happen 4 or 5 times a year. And let me encourage you to share your email in large capital letters, very neatly, so that I don't have to bug pester Mark for your email, okay? Or whoever I would bug for that. We'd love to just keep you informed. You can keep you praying and informed about what is taking place. Now, we have two videos that my friends upstairs have told me they are ready to go with. One of them, the first one, we're going to go, we'll just do one at a time. I'll come back up. So the first one is just kind of a quick overview of life and ministry for us. We made a little while ago for like a year review kind of thing. And it'll just give you a good sample of what the family's doing a little bit. From day to day, and incorporates everybody. So we'll go with video one, and then I'll come up for video two. Thank you. gave you a quick overview of SOS Ministries. You may have seen some faces there as well. I was just remembering watching that I think the Rutunas have possibly, at least Mark maybe has been here, big guy with a big voice, and the Stepanians, who are from the region, somewhere around here, north maybe, have visited as well. So if you've been here and seen some of those folks, they are also part of our ministry. Maybe you saw the picture there. You also might have seen a fifth Huffstutler, and I didn't introduce her, so I should say something about Karis Huffstutler. She's the oldest with the longer hair. She has got her first full-time job out of college, and so she's not allowed to travel with us because she has to work now. She's just graduated, and so we're in this transitional stage of life with her, and that's partly why we're back during this time of year. We have one leaving college and one entering, and we're trying to figure out how do we handle that as parents and as family, and so the Lord's given us grace and understanding with all that. We have another video we're going to show you here in just a minute that is really more a little bit more focused on STC, Shepherd's Training College. I don't usually show this one, but I'm showing it to you because you have so heavily invested as a church by sending your pastors over to invest in this ministry, which is an arm. SOS is kind of the mothership, if you think of it that way. Shepherd's Training College is a ministry of it, but it's an accredited Ugandan college. Training pastors, it's men only, but it's pastor's college, and we're less than 10 years old, we're 2 years into an accredited bachelor's degree, we're short on staff, we're stumbling over ourselves, but we're having fun, and we're impacting many, and that's what this video is going to show you a little bit of mostly our staff, teachers, some others who are just describing what their time at STC has been. Many of them are African, locals from various countries. There's Congolese in there, there's a couple Kenyans in there, there's some Ugandans in there. So I could just give you a little bit of a flavor of what the locals are thinking a little bit in regards to that ministry, which this church has invested so heavily in by sending people over and of course, supporting us and partnering with us in that. So, second video, please.
One of the highlights for me personally is traveling around the country every August to do recruitment. And the more times I have the opportunity to do that year over year, not only are we recruiting students, but now we're starting to see some of our alumni. And so to go and see those guys in their context, in their local churches, has been exceedingly encouraging. Because what I see is I see those guys starting to gather men around them and to disciple them and to share the truth of God's word and to share the things that they've learned at STC with other men in their churches. And that can only yield good fruit.
Personally, I have seen students grow from when they first came to where they are now by how they increasingly become zealous about exploring the vast resources that are at their exposure.
The teaching of the truth that we do at STC, it is significantly impacting their lives, and they are now having a hunger or they have a thirst now to become the best they can be.
So STC has a huge impact on our students in that it sets them on a trajectory. It sets them on a certain path that will now determine the rest of their life. It becomes a lifestyle for them. We inculcate principles that will impact their personal life, but their ministry life as well.
For me, I believe that STC is the answer to the church in East Africa. When you see what's going on in the church in East Africa, we have only false teachers. I believe our students are well grounded in the truth, so they will be able to respond to what's going on in the church in Africa. So they will be able to impact not only their families, but also their communities and the entire church.
I have seen STC impacting them in that their desire
to preach the real, true gospel has really deepened and grown, as well as just how their own private lives have been transformed. These students will be among the best, if not the best, this country has when it comes to expository preaching. I see Uganda being transformed. I actually do foresee through the efforts of STC that in a couple of years' time, we might be having solid local churches.
Looking at these students from where we started in January and up to now, I have seen a lot of transformations in the life of these students. And I think that's why I believe that these students that we train here are going to have a great impact in this country.
As a student, I think STC has helped to shape my thinking of the Word of God, having a high view of the Word of God, and then the high view of God Himself.
I should say that my knowledge of the gospel and salvation was so blurry, it wasn't clear. Like I had some veil over my face and my heart and my mind. But when I come to STC, I feel like those veils are all removed, and there's that peace I have, and there's that transformation, the changes I have in me is just tremendous. I say, God, thank you for the STC. And so it is everything to me. It is everything I want to do.
Before I came here, I didn't know Christ. I was leading just church. But I did not know that I was an unbeliever. But it's not that year I came to be exposed to the truth of the sufficiency of the scripture in the STC. I came to know that I was an unbeliever. I didn't know Christ. So I came to know the Christ through the STC.
Generally, in the beginning, I was seeing the world in the secular nature of it. I was trying to analyze the world on human nature, human thinking. But with these studies in STC, it has transformed me to see the world biblically, how to approach everything biblically. I'm seeing its nature of transformation to me and to the neighbors, to those who are to come and who will hear about it, will have a very great importance.
When I came to STC, I began to see a clear gospel. And let me say, I wasn't born again, by the way. But when I came to STC, I began to see clearly, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? And what does it mean to be the clear gospel?
Coming to STC, I've come to know the core teachings, and now I have discernment in whatever I do.
The knowledge that STC is bringing to me and the love that I get from here is really making me to desire more and more how to serve my people with the gospel of Christ.
This is the environment that has impacted me to love other people equally. You can clearly see the love that is extended between the professors, the students, and the community around us. It has been great, and it has impacted me a lot to extend that same love to others.
I'm growing in it. I'm growing in my humility. I'm growing in my love for God and His Word. And then that hunger continue to build now for pastoral ministry.
All right, I hope that gave you a little bit of a taste for what STC is doing in the lives of and the hearts of many. I was just looking at countries there. There were, I think, South Sudanese, Kenyan, Ugandan, Congolese, just in that video. So it gives you a little bit of a sense of that East Africa region and some of the potential through what's happening here. I am going to try to do two things at once, like talk and use tech at the same time. And that doesn't always go well. But if you let go of the projector, and if I get it, hopefully this will work. So I connect to Crossway MacBook Pro, right? I think, Nathan, am I doing the right thing? Yes, okay. Aha, a screen. Okay, that's progress. And we're going to pull this over here in just a moment. If I do this. Yeah, I got to do this. Oh, what is that? What was it there? Ah, look at that. Okay. So I'm changing a number of things this Lord's Day, and so I'm somewhat techie, people tell me, so it looks like we may survive. Okay, progress, let's go. All right, well, you're going to get the, what do you call this, the jet version, the high-speed version of the slideshow, and I'm going to try to skim over some things that you probably already know. So if you don't know that, we might have a minute or two at the end to ask a question or two. We'd love to talk to you. My wife, only one wife, even though we live in Africa. My wife and my daughters love to answer questions, so please feel free to ask them as well if I'm hard to get at. They are more informed and better probably at answering questions than I will answer them, but I'll do my best. That's how you say I spell our name, and hopefully if you need to practice it, you feel free to do that. We are in Kubamitwe, Uganda, which is just a small little village with a couple huts and along the side of a road. It's not a well-known place. It actually means to hit the head. It's where people used to die in the swamp during a previous government. When they wanted to get rid of people, they take them to a swamp area, knock them hard, and they die. And Idi Amin's government, you may have heard of him, genocidal dictator who killed a lot of people in Uganda and caused a lot of problems. And so there are numbers of Kubamitwes, villages around Uganda, because a lot of people died during those days, and it's where in Luganda you say to hit the head, which is how they would kill someone. And so it doesn't have a good name, but that's why the land was cheap. And we were able to buy a couple hundred acres over the years. And you'll understand more here as we go. So that's us again. You can see how to say our names there. Obviously, Angie's passed the beautiful gene to all of the girls. And I'm the thorn in the middle of the roses or something there. But we are working with Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries. You'll hear me say SOS sometimes. If you're familiar with it, you know it. Sent out of Inner City Baptist Church. This church has a little bit of a connection, I think, with Inner City, so you're kind of familiar, I believe, with that. And Grace Baptist Mission is kind of an arm of the church that they handle our insurance and our income that comes in and accountability and some things like that with the church. We are just coming and visiting with our partners and updating them, just like Paul and Barnabas did long ago to the church in Jerusalem. We're trying to be New Testament-like about what we're doing, and putting faces, eyeballs with eyeballs, and opportunity for questions and to visit with you so that you know who it is you are supporting. I know we're in your budget, so your giving goes toward us eventually under the leadership and guidance of the church here. And so we want to report to you. You know, it's becoming a more difficult thing for people like me to have this kind of time with a church like you because not all churches do this kind of thing. There's no time for it. As services shrink, times are few for some stranger that nobody knows to show up and show slides and pictures and talk about missions and the gospel far away. And so we really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope it's beneficial for you, even as a church member, as an attender this morning, to realize the scope in some ways of what Crossway is doing, but also what you're partnering with and what you're involved in, because we're not there unless you're behind us in many ways. This church has a special relationship with us for a number of reasons, so you're even more connected than some. But we're modeling what the apostles before us have done, and hope that makes sense. Africa is a large place. We could talk about that, but you can fit a lot of countries into the continent, and we don't often know people in other countries or other missionaries that you know because travel is more difficult. It's a large place, and we're far apart. As you get down to East Africa, that's where we're more focused. We're technically landlocked. We're kind of a Great Lakes country in East Africa. Growing up in the Midwest, we grew up around Great Lakes, and Lake Victoria there is just southeast of the country there. Certainly looks different than maybe Bakersfield. When I come to Bakersfield, having grown up in the Midwest and lived in the Southeast, California just has a little bit of a different look to me as I drive around. You can go 50 on neighborhood streets. Everybody lives behind a wall. Homes are a little bit larger. They're just different. Pools, things like that are less common in, colder areas of the country. And so, you just see differences. And if you visit Kampala or Entebbe or Kubamitwe, you'll see differences. And these are just some of them. That large truck of plastic bottles and Angie on the back of a boat, that was kind of a family emergency where the car wouldn't go forward. And we were trying to go get some groceries on an early Saturday morning, and I was stuck in reverse, and so I had to reverse my way out of a roundabout, which was not thrilling the family, and grocery shopping needed to happen, so Angie just jumped out of the car, hopped on a Boda, which is a motorcycle, and off she goes, and we were like, oh, get a picture of Mom on that, because that never happens. And so we were able to do that quickly. It's a village. We definitely live in rural Africa, rural East Africa. If you go north of Kampala about 2 hours and go 30 minutes into the jungle, you'd be where we live. And so we're very rural. However, our campus is not quite as rural. feeling as that. We do have a number of ministries there. You saw some of that in the earlier slide, and I've tried to kind of give you a quick image here of how we're trying to strengthen God's church in Uganda and disciple the communities in and around Kubamitwe through some of these ministries. Obviously, the local church is central to what we're doing, but there's a Christian academy, and there's a medical center, and there is the college. And then there's some related fields. These are only the ones we have logos for, so that's why they're there. But community outreach is doing a lot in the way of disability ministry. Johnny Erickson Tata and her, she ships us 100, or not she, but the ministry ships us a container full of wheelchairs that usually go places in the country once a year. Church strengthening, we have strong relationships with some of the somewhat conservative denominations in our part of the world, like the Baptist Union of Uganda and the Baptist Convention of South Sudan. Those are networks of churches that are sending students to the college. And so we kind of give them a quota because we're really trying to help those groups of churches, which are in really bad shape, but we're trying to help them by training their guys and pulling them as a group more toward a biblical gospel and away from prosperity gospel and other challenges that they have. You hear a lot about the hospital. We're not the only people there. There's certainly a bigger team that we work with. We work together. We play together. We go to church together. We eat together. We have stress together. These are the folks we know well. And when you serve in ministry together, you get to know folks well. These are our neighbors as well. We see them all the time. Work together. So very quickly, we've got Basaba's work with community outreach. The Mays are doing a lot of he is doing quite a bit of the development of the facility. You'll see with buildings and things, Dexter and Jesse. Shannon and Danielle, have they been here? I don't know if Shannon's been here, but I think he has. But he is the lead missionary, CEO, founder of the ministry, fundraiser, number of things. Obviously, that's us. Stepanians are here. I think they have visited. And newest missionaries that have joined us are Mark and Marshall Sloan. He has taken my old job, the dean of administration at the college. And Marshall as well, they bring a wonderful flavor to our team there in Uganda and have really settled in well. He was previously a missionary in Western Uganda and joined us there recently. As I think about missions, I try to be biblical about it because there's a lot of messiness in missions. And so I've tried to define this, and I show this to you every time I'm here. I don't know if you remember that, but it says, we seek to fully establish churches. That's the main thing because that's the Bible's main thing. It's not clinics, it's not schools, it's not other things, it's the scriptures, and it's the church for the glory of God by evangelizing, because that's the last thing Jesus told us to do, right? Go make disciples and equip the saints for the work of the ministry and then entrust that word to faithful disciples. And so as I try to invest our lives, this helps me, and I'm going to really walk through this idea for the next few minutes as we explain what it is we do and how what we try to do incorporates into this general mission of what we do. And you'll see that a whole idea, this is kind of the big idea of establishing local churches. See the apostles doing that. You see Paul writing to the Romans at the beginning and the end of the book and saying, this is what I'm trying to do with you with this great book of Romans. If you know, some pastors have spent many years teaching through that book because there's a lot there. Thessalonians, he sends Timothy to do the same thing. Peter gets in the act as he wants to establish people in the truth. And so the scriptures are often written. Emissaries are sent from apostolic persons to establish people in the faith, and in some ways we are following that example, whether it's in the local church. Because of my time, I'm going to have to be quick. Angie does not normally preach in the local church, but she does engage in some women's conferences and things, and so she has had some neat opportunities that way. She's teaching we call it Shepherd's Wives. It's the late wives of our students, and they have a monthly class where she gets some opportunities to do that. Obviously, evangelizing is based in the Great Commission in lots of places, but this is certainly the famous text that everyone's knows about, and I won't spend a lot of time because I'm assuming you are familiar with it. If you're here on Sunday morning at this time, you've heard of the Great Commission before, and you know what it is, and I hope, there is so much packed into this, right? This is 5 sermons, but it's very important as we think about what we do and what missions should be mostly about as we do different things, and so it doesn't necessarily, it frequently doesn't happen in a room like this. It happens outside of a room like this. And so whether it's a carport or in the village or in our back room, as we talk with students, facilities obviously help, classrooms help, cafeterias where you can hold lots of people help, a new church building that's being constructed will be a great help. But many times it's life on life, person to person, and in some different setting. I'm going quickly and trying to shorten what I'm doing. So I'm giving you just a quick overview here of some of life in Uganda. As we move more toward equipping, as we think about equipping men especially, or saints for the work of the ministry, there's many ways of doing that. We do that especially with the school, but also within the local church through resources. You may have heard of Francophone and Anglophone Africa. Large parts of Africa often can speak in some degree one of those languages. In Uganda, English, for better or worse, is the unifying language of Uganda, because there's a whole bunch of different tribes, and they don't always understand each other. And there's a lot of suspicion sometimes between tribes. It's just part of human nature. And English is the means of education. It's spoken in government. It unifies the country in some ways when they come together and they don't know each other's tribal tongues. Most sub-Saharan folks know multiple languages. So that when they get together, they've got parents sometimes from different tribes. They know both of those. They've learned English. They've learned some Swahili, which is a regional language that's growing again in Uganda a little bit. And so, thankfully, they can read, many of them, and when they come to STC, we baptize them into the English language in a heavy way. And so, from the certificate program, they are learning lots of English, grammar, you name it, punctuation. Their writing classes, it's being drilled into them because if they know English, they have access to the theological language of the world right now. For better or worse, you speak and you can read the theological language. All the books, or many of the books, the computer programs, the you name it, the resources, the videos, the DVDs, they're being produced by English speakers. And so if we can equip these men and women to understand English better, they will be able to access resources that they would not otherwise be able to do, even websites and all the things that are on the internet. And so we are taking in books anytime people give them to us. Hymnals. The Western Church is kind of moving away from hymnals in many ways, but I recently had a university ship me 2,000 hymnals, and they were gone in a couple days. As South Sudanese and Ugandans who never have hymnals and never have the money to even think about buying them and never even hardly see them. Grabbed up boxes of them and, you know, just took them off. They've told me they're going to send me another 2,000 to 4,000 hymnals at this university, and I expect to do the same thing with them very quickly because they're constantly asking for just basic resources sometimes, but because they can read and understand some of these wonderful resources. And so English is a curse and a blessing, but it is the theological language of the world, and we are able to influence and train many through sometimes older resources or donated resources or newer resources that we're able to pull over there to Uganda. So Crossway has given us lots of copies. I think we just received another 5,000 or so ESV Global Study Bibles. And because we have a facility and some places to store things, we're becoming a little bit of a hub for resources, at least in Uganda and farther, because they can ship things to us, we can hold them, until people come for them. It also obviously gives us opportunities, as we have a large church building that seats about 1,400 being built, which can host conferences, and so pastors, women's, men's, youth conferences can take place, and we can get Bibles into hands where most people would not be able to pay or spend the money on a concise study Bible, which is just a little thin, hardback, simplified ESV study Bible. Nothing, you know, you would spend, I don't know, $8 to $12 on something like that. That is off the charts, or they're saving lots of money for a long period of time before they can spend that kind of money. We give our pastors, that's on the right and the left, our current STC students who are given something of a pastor's pack. It's a group of just basic, helpful, biblical tools for their ministry, because even though the whole world is going this way with data, most of our men have smartphones, they have a Logos license. They're doing lots of cool things in data. And there is data in the village. And in another 10 years, everyone will just live like on this thing, if computers are still too expensive. Printed things are wonderful when there's no electricity or the power goes out, and which is a frequent thing. And we're using these for textbooks, but also for the rest of their ministry. And so these are just examples of how we're equipping, specifically the college. That's where I'm doing quite a bit of my work right now. Ministry is in the college as well as the local church, but especially the college And these are just some of the classes I taught recently. For better or worse, I am the Logos teacher. Anybody here use Logos? Do we know Logos a little bit? Okay. Some of you who are a little more Bible-oriented and techie-oriented might know Logos. But it's a wonderful tool. All our students get one, so that as they leave, they'll have their own license they can take with them and hopefully use their 500-plus books that we've negotiated with Logos to for them to use. So entrusting, as we think about that third E, entrusting the word, 2 Timothy 2:2 comes up. Again, another well-known missions text. As we seek to spread the gospel, we need to equip and train. Being in East Africa and being in Sub-Saharan Africa, I am on the heels of, in some ways, the earliest missionaries, but especially the Southern Baptists came into Sub-Saharan Africa and did a lot of church planting. They sent armies of missionaries and did a lot of church planting. Then somebody in the bureaucracy somewhere said, okay, churches are planted, we're done. They started some schools, got them going, said, churches are planted, schools are here, let's go. And they pulled out many, many, many of the IMB, in those days missionaries, who were preaching a biblical gospel and planted good churches. But the seminaries that they started very quickly either died or pursued more of a prosperity gospel situation. We're coming in now, I don't know, 20, 30 years after some of that has happened, and churches are in really bad shape. Some of the schools they started either don't exist or have gone liberal or have entered into a prosperity gospel situation. There's all kinds of factors for that, but we are kind of coming behind some of that, and we are trying to equip people who are coming from some of those churches who still have a biblical knowledge in some ways, but are untaught or confused about a lot of things, and we are praying that we'll be able to entrust the word to faithful men who come from some of those networks that I have mentioned. So Shepherd's Training College is a big part of that, that particular ministry, because it's an accredited Ugandan ministry. We are serious. We have to be serious about it. Accreditors come and visit us and tell us to do lots of things, and so we are trying our best to make it a high-quality East African school for pastors, and it's unique. It's if you've met Shannon, you know Shannon's a little bit of a unique character, and he's had a lot to say about our curriculum, and he has kind of crafted it and shaped it in ways that are unique. And so, people who come into our certificate program are that's the only way to get into the degree program is to come through our certificate program, and we are killing guys in both programs. We give them far more than typical certificate and diploma degree programs do. They're basically getting a master's degree with their bachelor's degree, but it's largely funded for them. The couples come and live with us. There's a lot of things I could say about it. It's quickly growing. It is well-funded, which helps us. And whole families come every year. A new cohort of students come, and they bring about 70 people with them when they come, because half of the class is married, and they are bringing their children and their wives. So 3, 4, 5, 6 children come with the student, and there's 3-bedroom apartment-like homes that are available for them. So for that class, that's one of the classes. Half of them would be married, half of them would be single, and we want to have a whole family impact on them. And so the wives are receiving training, the kids are going to Legacy Christian School. There's just a number of ways in which impact is being made on these families. We've had a few graduations, especially of our certificate students. End of next year will be our first degree program, and we're just trying to survive until we get there. We are in desperate need of teachers. This year, I have recruited, mostly my wife and I've had help, it's not all me, but 30 different adjunct teachers, of who your pastors have been some. But we're like dialed in to pastors who can travel around America and ask, hey, come over for 1 to 2 weeks, teach a book of the Bible, because the first year and a half of our program is Genesis through Revelation. Many of these students have never studied the Bible seriously. They've just little pockets here and there, and so we're trying to give them a grounding and a comprehensive understanding of the books of the Bible, because there was no Sunday school, there was no VBS. There was no Bible college they went to or a local church that did that with them. So if you start throwing high-end theology at them before they've had a grounding in the text of Scripture, you're going to get ahead of yourself. And so I think that's a really unique thing and helpful for what we're doing. These are some of those pastors' packs I was telling you about. Students are thrilled to get these kind of things because they are unusual in our part of the world, and we're using them extensively in our classes. One of the unique things about STC, this is the main campus and the dormitories, which are like large cabins. They sleep eight. Is that all the students, one of the unique things I was saying of STC is that they all are on a Chromebook. When they come to class, we've taught them how to type in the certificate program, and we say, here's your Chromebook, and everything is in the Chromebook. We're doing everything in the free Google Apps, and in this part of the world, that is not normal for them. And so it's really helpful in some ways. You also have to be careful of copy-pasting and plagiarism, but we're working on that too as we go here into our second year and third year of our degree program. We are building a new facility. This is the current facility. To the right of that, to the right, we are building this building, and the building has just begun. I've slapped some new pictures in here, so hopefully it's all going to work out. But this is going to give us a place for our library. Our library is currently in a classroom, so we have about 20,000 books. We have 5,000 books in storage. Need to come out of storage and go into this. There's a large lecture room and a study area that we are currently building. So if you look right over here, right, that's the construction taking place in that facility. It's all funded. It's just a matter of getting it done this year before we start next year, because we need this classroom. Right here is where the library is in this building, and needs to go over here. And so we appreciate your prayer. Dexter May, one of the missionaries, kind of oversees. He's a civil engineer, water engineer, but he's really good at many things, and he oversees much of the construction around campus. You probably are not deeply interested in all the educational details, so I'm going to skip certificate and diploma degree information, but they are, especially the diploma degree is residential. The certificate, they come in for about 25 weeks of the year. These are some new slides I've just added, and my kids are going to lecture me after this for putting pictures of them on the screen without telling them. But hopefully they're nothing too embarrassing. I want you to help understand a little bit about the Huffs, because some of you are going to wonder about that. And we have just landed about a month ago, I don't even remember, 3-4 weeks now. And we came for our daughter's graduation, so you can see her up there graduating over here, Karis. And Lord willing, we're going to leave one, Faith, here in August, so we're still working on that, but we're getting used to living out of suitcases and strange vehicles and trying to figure our way from place to place. We started in Louisville, we went to Greenville, and we went to Cary, North Carolina, then we went back to Greenville, then we went to Wisconsin, now we're in California. So that's kind of what life is like. Next week we're going to be in Colorado, and for better or worse, God's given us some coast-to-coast connections, and so we're taking advantage of them, and we enjoy travel to some degree, but we get really tired, and so sometimes we're not sure what day it is. But the Lord has been good to us as a family. Our girls obviously are getting older. Michaela is dreading. Speaking of Michaela, this slide is all about Michaela, and I'm sure I'll hear about that later. But Michaela is going to be all alone with us, Mom and Dad, at home, and so she needs special prayer and equipping. So please be thinking of her. Michaela has her own special personality that we love, so we're going to have fun anyway with her. But that's us. These are all recent pictures as we have been moving about the last few weeks here. So how can you pray for us? My time is up. There are a number of areas that we would appreciate your prayer. Lots of transitions and travel are happening for us right now. Angie and I are we've got a little bit of this color in our hair now, and so some of you know what that means. We appreciate your advice and prayer in those areas. Children are leaving. We're trying to figure out how to take care of children who are on the other side of the world, and you're not. And so that's a whole other dynamic, that finances. And we recently acquired a home that the oldest child will be in, and she will help us handle the renters who will be in there with her. And so that's a whole other thing. As we get older, you know, you don't have the energy and strength sometimes that you had, and you can't live as crazy a life as you used to live as a missionary or ministry person. And so how do we live well? And SOS is a high-intensity, sometimes stressful, busy place, as your pastors can testify. And we appreciate your prayer for wisdom there. We are a little bit of a circus attraction, not just because of our personalities, but because of our skin color. Where we live and what we do, and so we kind of get used to being stared at, and that just affects ministry. It's kind of nice to be a little bit more anonymous when you come back to the States because nobody notices you. But in our where we minister, that's not often the case. And there's often a lot of presuppositions about you as an American or as a white American. And so, which aren't always true. Obviously, some are. But sometimes that attracts the wrong kind of attention. And so we'd appreciate your prayer about that. And we're not doing any of this so that we would be famous. And we don't really enjoy getting up and talking about ourselves and, you know, all the stuff we do to help you understand and relate and pray and support. But it's necessary. And we want you to we do this so that you partner well with us. And so the word of God would go forth. People would be evangelized. People will be equipped. Men will be entrusted with the word of God. And churches will go forth. And the gospel will go forth in a difficult place. Sub-Saharan Africa is not an easy place for many of the folks who live there. And they, you know, if you look at stats around the world, there is, you know, a significant population of people that are not Muslim. They might claim Christianity, but a biblical gospel, an understanding of biblical truth, is a difference than just claiming Christianity. And so, pray that the Lord would be glorified, His word would be proclaimed, and people would understand and take the gospel. The West, Christianity seems to be dying or struggling or going through a different stage in the West. I think I've heard things about more mosques than churches in the UK, right? And 100 years ago, that was not the case. And so we pray that doesn't come here. It's exciting to see a church plant happening here. I've heard a little bit about that. That's a wonderful way that you're just doing the same thing we're doing. You're just doing it here, right? And it looks different. It feels different sometimes, but ultimately, we're all coming back to the Scriptures, and we're trying to be obedient to what the Lord has told us to do. We do have a prayer card. Please take one of those, stick it on a fridge or someplace that you'll remember. Sign up for our extremely interesting picture-filled emails that are checked by my wife before I send them, okay? So please look those over, and you'll hopefully enjoy those. We do have a little Facebook page where we try to post things from time to time to keep you connected. That's what our prayer card looks like. We'd love for you to take that. Please do. And I have finished, and time is up. I'm sure we're going to be here all day today. We'd love to talk and answer any questions anyone has, but I should dismiss and let you to do what you normally do on a Sunday morning in a short amount of time, because there's a little less time this morning. So see you back here in 7 minutes. All right? Is that all right? Okay.